The storms of life come in many shapes and forms. These perplexing predicaments show up at the most inconvenient times, disrupting our lives. And one of the most frustrating things is that adversity does not need an invitation. One moment, life appears serene, and then the next moment, we find ourselves caught in the middle of the storm. For some of us, life is just one storm after the other. We wake up in a storm. We go to work, there's a storm. We come home, our marriages are in a storm. Our children are giving us problem storm, the diagnosis of an illness storm. And even in the quiet of our minds, there are storms. We're often caught in so many storms, it's like an old McDonald's situation. Here a storm, there a storm, everywhere a storm, storm. It's been said that if you treat everybody like they're in a storm, like they just got through a storm, or just about to go into a storm, you're probably right. The good news of the gospel is that if you are a child of God, you can be anchored in the midst of adversity. Sometimes you can see the storm coming. The clouds are gathering, the winds are blowing, and you can see it. Sometimes they catch you totally by surprise. It's hard to believe it was 6 months ago that I shared I was having valve trouble and that I was scheduled for heart surgery. That one caught the Herwig family totally by surprise. It was nowhere on our radar, and I thank this church and the support and prayers of so many of you as we have walked this path, and I look forward to sharing with you again and grateful for this opportunity. The title of my sermon this morning is Anchored, Timeless Truths for Troubled Times, and I thought this morning we would look at some of the many truths that are found in Scripture that will help anchor us when the winds blow and when the storm rages. So turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 6:19. To give you context, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the certainty of God's promise to Israel. The author gives us two assurances. One, that God has sworn by himself. There is nobody, you always swear to somebody greater. And there is nobody greater than God. So he swore by himself, saying, "This I will do." And that two, God cannot lie. It is not in his character. It is not in his nature. He cannot lie. So then we read, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor for the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now there's a gem in here. That's going to be our theme for the day. We have this sure and steady, steadfast anchor of the soul. What a beautiful word picture. Our hope is sure and grounded in a well-placed anchor that is locked into the bedrock of a firm foundation. But this anchor is not located in the deepest sea, but in the person of Christ himself. The truths of Scripture are to be a comfort in times of trouble. So if you're following along in your notes, we're starting here with number one. The Lord knows, and he cares. The Lord knows in whatever circumstance you find yourself in. The Lord knows. I picked up this phrase from my friend Elizabeth, and it's been such an encouragement. The Lord knows. Did you get an unexpected diagnosis from your doctor? The Lord knows. Is your job unshaky in these uncertain times? The Lord knows. Are your kids rebelling and not following in the way? The Lord knows. Have you lost your spouse and lonely and afraid? The Lord knows. And sometimes knowing that somebody else knows is a comfort in and of itself. But it's not just anyone that is who is doing the knowing. It's the Lord Jesus. Jesus, strong and kind. The creator of heavens and earth and all that we see in the universe. He's the one that knit us together in our mother's womb. He's the one that knows the number of hairs on our heads, when we rise up and when we sit down. He knows when a sparrow falls and the number of days we have here on this earth. The Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows the deepest cries of our heart. And when we are frustrated and overwhelmed, and we can't even articulate what we're trying to pray, the Lord knows, and He cares. But this knowledge that the Lord has of us is not from somebody that is far and distant. It says in Hebrews 4, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one in every respect that is tempted as we, yet without sin." When Christ came, He emptied Himself. Philippians 2. Jesus, though He was in the form of God, did not count it equality with God as something to be held on to, but He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself to become obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See, Jesus, in His humanity, He was fully human. He hungered. Jesus thirsted. He wept. He was righteously angry. He was betrayed by those who was closest to Him. He suffered a death that no one else should. We live in a fallen world, and you don't have to go any farther than the latest headlines to see that. Is it flooding in Florida? Tornado in Mississippi, an earthquake in Turkey, a war in Ukraine, another mass shooting on television? The Lord knows. It seems like Christians were always swimming upstream in the culture, and we're being asked to compromise our values. The Lord knows. Culture is not our friend, and the deceiver parades around like an angel of light, a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. The Lord knows, and He cares. 1 Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." The Lord knows, and He cares. And He cares enough to meet us at our deepest need, not to leave us where we are, but to transform us to the image of His Son. So number two, so you see, Jesus paid it all. There's a song that we sing that has that name, but what if I tweaked it just a little? Jesus paid most of it. Just a little bit I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it, but He left it light pink. How tragic that would be. Yet in any work-based system of salvation, that's exactly what we're saying. The spotless Lamb of God that cried, "It is finished," paid our penalty 100%. He meant it, and to prove it, 3 days later, He arose from the grave. Psalm 103, "For as far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us." See, sometimes life leaves a mark, whether physically, emotionally, psychologically. It's hard to leave this world without a scar or two. Scars are an indication that something happened to us. And I've been keenly aware of scars since my surgery. In fact, there's an overwhelming urge to rip off my shirt and to show everybody. But I promised Amy I would behave myself. But 6 months ago, I asked, when I said that I was going to be having surgery, at least half a dozen of you came up and offered to show me your scar, that zipper. Well, I think of scars, I can't help but think of the one who paid it all. The one who came to Thomas, put your fingers here, see my hands, put your hand in my side. Don't disbelieve, but believe. And I can't help but to have that same reaction when I think of those scars. As Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And as we look at the book of Revelation, we read about the Lamb who bears the mark of slaughter, who is holy, 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 worthy to open up the scroll. Well, for us, scars are an indication that something happened to us. But for Jesus, his scars are a result of what he did for us. Isaiah 53, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him, the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Jesus paid it all. And all we need to do is to put our faith and trust in what he's done, that finished work. Jesus paid it all. And when we do, the promise is that God will never leave you. Psalm 23 is one of the psalms that has brought comfort to believers over the centuries, actually over the millennium. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How beautiful and poetic and full of truth. Did you notice, though, that it's not in the absence of hard times, but during them? It's not in the absence of our enemies. It's oftentimes in the presence of them that we find our God the closest. Though the wind blows and the waves rise, wherever you find yourself, even in the valley of great darkness, God is there and will bring us his comforting presence. After his resurrection, when the Lord ascended into heaven, he didn't abandon his disciples. He sent us his Holy Spirit. John 14:6, Jesus tells his disciples that he will ask the Father to send them another, a comforter, an advocate, who will be with them forever. The Greek word used in this passage is paraclete, which can be translated as comforter, counselor, or helper. The Holy Spirit is a source of comfort and guidance to the strength for believers. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand God's will, empowering us to live a life that is pleasing to God and provides us with the assurance of salvation. I love the promise at the end of the Great Commission found in Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said unto them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Truth that we can sink our teeth into. When I posted online I was having my surgery, I had many people write me a note of concern and support. We'll be praying for you, blessings and the like. But I found it very interesting. I could immediately tell who had no basis of faith. They would post something like, good luck, fingers crossed, hope it goes well. Good luck is all that the world has to offer. What do we tell Janet? Good luck? How about this? Father, we lift up Janet, who is recovering from surgery. We pray that you would be with her as she recovers, that you would give her a peace that passes understanding, that you would strengthen her body as she finds her rest in you. How rich, how encouraging, how fortunately we are who can call the creator of the universe by name, who loves us, who knows us, who will never leave us. This truth should be an anchor in the storms of life. Number four, God has given us everything that we need. 2 Peter 1:3 says, God has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who is called by his own glory and goodness. Knowledge, things that we can know, things that have been revealed to us through the Word of God. If all the Christian bookstores were closed tomorrow, sorry, Les. If all the Christian radio stations, TV channels, Christian blogs, books, commentaries, podcasts, tapes, and CDs were gone tomorrow, we would have everything that we need to live a life that honors God. God has given us his Son, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God has given us his word. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are changed from the inside out. We are instructed by it. We are encouraged by it. And we are convicted by it. And we are challenged by it. God has given us his Spirit to convict the world of sin and point us back to Jesus and to guide us into all truth. And God has given us his wisdom to anyone who asks for it, as it says in James. And God has given us his promises, promises that we can hold on to. As I was prepping for my sermon earlier this week, I was texting with Richard, and he mentioned the hymn, We Have an Anchor. I wasn't familiar with it, so I looked it up, and oh, what a lovely chorus. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot be moved, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Soul, roll. We have been given the love of God that cannot be moved. In Christ, we have a sure and steady anchor. As the psalmist says, he's our rock and our fortress and a steady help in time of need. He has given us everything we need to live this life, be it good or ill. Most of the time, when you have an anchor, you hold on to it. But in this case, we have an anchor that holds on to us. See, number five, nothing can snatch us out of God's hands. For those in the Father's fold, we are safe. In John 10, Jesus had just declared to his disciples that I am the good shepherd. And I love it when Gary quotes this passage. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. What an amazing declaration from Jesus, that he and the Father are one, and that we are safe and secure in the hands of the Father. But let me help you clarify what I mean by safe. Because I think there's confusion in the church about what safe looks like. Hebrews 11 says, some were tortured, others suffered mocking and flogging and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two, killed by the sword. They went around in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves. Most of us interpret safety as physically safe, but here we're talking about safety and security of our eternal state. Our relationship with Christ is secure. In Romans 8, Paul echoes the Hebrews passage. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? All of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure there's neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. As believers, we've been called to walk in faith and obedience, but our salvation is ultimately secure in Christ, and nothing can separate us from his love. As I've been reflecting on my own experience, I have come to the conclusion that God will take you through your storm, or he will take you home. You see, the Christian has the sure hope of heaven. The hope of heaven has been a great encouragement to the believer because we will finally see our Savior face to face. As it says in 1 Corinthians, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even then as I have been fully known. The truth anchors us, even though the very earth is shaken, knowing that our present struggles are temporary and that a glorious future awaits. As Paul wrote, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy of comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. John 14, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? This is Jesus making a promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you there myself, where you may be also. And I can tell you, it's going to be glorious. 1 Corinthians 2 says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for us, for those who love him. So whatever the weight of sadness or doubt that life's storms bring your way, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what we see, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Revelations 20:1 says that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither will there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away, and the new things have come. So let me exhort you to anchor yourselves in the things of the Lord. Do you have your Bible? Read it. Listen to it. Memorize it. Love it. Share it. Fill your minds with the scriptures and let it saturate your soul. Go to church. Hey, good news, you're already here. But keep coming. Put yourself under good teaching, like we have. Feast on the word of God as it is preached and devour every morsel. Serve. This is where we get to practice the one another's. Hebrews 10 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Give. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You want your heart to be anchored in the things of the Lord? Throw your wallet there first. Your heart will soon follow. Pray. Pray to the Father who loves you. Let him know your needs and your hurts, your concerns and your desires. But also pray for others and let others encourage you by praying for you. And sing. Somehow the Lord has wired us where we can recall the words of song more easily than virtually anything else. Fill your hearts and minds with songs that are rich in the truths of the scriptures. And last, remember. As humans, we so easily forget. This is why we need all those post-it notes or reminders on our phones or alarms. This is why the Lord invites us to remember here at the table where we anchor ourselves to the person and work of the Lord Jesus and all that he's done on our behalf. Simple symbols, deep meanings. As we say each week, this is not the table of Redeemer Fellowship. All who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus can participate. We're going to sing a song while we pass out the elements, so please hold them and we'll take them together. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that you are an anchor in the midst of the storm, that we can fully put our faith and trust in you. And as we take these symbols, help us to remind ourselves and to anchor ourselves in what you've done on the cross on our behalf. In your name we pray. Amen.